Well, hello again. Joining us today is Tammy Wilson, Executive Director of Heart of the Cumberland, an important organization bringing hope and healing to grieving children, teens, and adults through peer support groups. She's here to share her story and the impact of their mission. Welcome, Tammy. Glad to have you with us.
Thank you very much.
So we're going to do a Billy Graham thing. Tell you the truth, this show, I love it because it's about who you are, not what you are. We will talk about what you do in the organization. That's very important. It blends into that. But we're literally going to start like Billy Graham and I'm not Billy Graham, but we're going to start at age birth, and we're going to go get you through school and high school and passions and friendships and what you did and how just talk about you and your life and your passions, your faith, your family, your whatever you want to talk about. And I've got the toughest job in the room. I got to listen. I love to talk, as you can already tell. So, Tammy, you're on. Let's first start with who is Tammy and who are you? Where'd you come from? Where are you going? We're going to start with who is Tammy Wilson?
Well, both of my parents were, I guess you would say, mountaineers. My dad grew up in Washburn, which is kind of toward Granger County, and my mother grew up in Bell County, Kentucky.
Yeah, sure.
They met up in Middlesboro and dated and married, and then I came along. He was at JCPenney.
JCPenney.
That's where he started out his career.
Sure.
So for several years after I was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, we moved around probably about every couple years.
Oh, sure.
Finally settled up in Cumberland Gap, Tennessee, Harrogate area, and went to middle school up there, high school, and then, you know, off to college.
Here we go.
Ended up here at Tennessee Tech.
Tennessee, great, great. Okay.
That was back in the 80s. Loved it here. For me, growing up in Harrogate, Cookeville was large. You know, I looked at UT's campus, and to me, I don't think I could have handled
a really big
the campus back then.
I understand. It's even larger today, obviously, but it was big back then.
It was, but Cookeville was a big town compared to where I grew up.
I understand.
So I got a degree in accounting and met my husband there, although we didn't date in college. That was kind of after the fact.
Sure.
He's an engineer and teaches at Tech now.
Okay.
We've been married 35 years.
Wow, great.
Have a daughter, Jessie. And she's in grad school at UT right now. She took the engineering path. I took the accounting path. And Chris took the engineering path, and so she followed in his footsteps. So we're proud of her.
So going back, what were your interests as a child growing up? Obviously accounting and the technology and your friends, your hobbies, your passions, anything that prepared you for who you are today and what you're doing today.
Well, I think I came from a family with a strong work ethic, and so we and my dad would teach us fun things like, you know, I didn't really hunt, but I loved to fish and hike and camp and do all those things, and I still love being outdoors. If I could be outdoors 24/7 for winter, you know, I'd be good.
I get it. So you went to Tech, graduated, y'all are married, and you got your children, and then what? What were you doing after that? Before you said earlier, but
I had worked for several different regional accounting firms, and when Chris was in grad school at UT, and going kind of, you know, what was coming after, you know, he got his PhD at UT, we looked at Cookeville again. You know, we hadn't been here since the 80s, and so here it was, 97, 98.
Sure.
And he got a job offer here, and so I came here and started my own accounting firm.
Okay.
Small. Okay. You know, I did tax work, and then I started taking on nonprofit organizations and found that there's less tears in the nonprofit world, you know, when you don't have to pay tax and tell somebody how much they owe.
That's right.
So that was a good niche for me, and I loved it. And about 2012, Cassandra Newman. She's well known here in town.
Oh, sure, Cassandra, yeah.
She asked if I would serve on the board at Heart of the Cumberland as mm-hmm. treasurer.
Okay.
And so that's kind of how my...
That began.
Yep.
Okay. You know, I'm interested. We're obviously, small business drives America, but small business really is who we are mm-hmm. in the Upper Cumberland. And you served as a lot of these firms' accountant. So, I mean,
I did. Mm-hmm.
Did their taxes. And any comments on that? We have some wonderful entrepreneurs here in this region that have grown and made this thing go. And you've been right there with them during that process, advising them and
It made me identify that Cookeville is a very unique community and that we have so many nonprofit organizations.
Yes, we do.
Do so much great work. It's just amazing. We have about everything covered. Mm-hmm. here, and everybody works together, and that's what I love.
We're a very caring community, and I that's one thing my wife and I, also the community of faith, the region. I mean, the good Lord, you know, things don't happen by accident, and we came here in 2004, and this is not about me, but mm-hmm. my wife recognized right away what was making this place special, and it's even bigger today. So that gets us. So that's how you got into the nonprofit field as volunteer, and let's segue a little bit into Heart of the Cumberland.
Okay.
As you know, Diane Callahan, one of my best friends, worked with us at the chamber for years. Retired and found a third career, and she's with
did.
You. But Jill Horner was. Talk about the need, the history, the founder, how this thing came about, because there was a need in this community and region, mm-hmm. and a group of leaders decided to do something about it.
Yeah, there was a very beloved teacher. I didn't know her, but Kay Brown Martin had passed away, and at the funeral home, Jill Horner and her caregiver, Patty Dickens, were just talking about, you know, it's so great people come together now, but after the funeral, then what?
Yeah.
How do you process this grief? And what do you do now other than just try to live your life? And so mm-hmm. that's how the concept of Heart of the Cumberland was formed. And mm-hmm. We had many founding interests. And I think our first seed money came from the Cookeville Regional Foundation at that time.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And they
sure.
still exist, obviously, but
sure.
they had helped provide the seed money to get Heart of the Cumberland started. That was before my time. I served on the board as treasurer for 6 years, and then we were in between directors, and like you say, sometimes the good Lord just
there's a reason.
Wraps
yeah.
you on the
no
noggin.
No accidents.
Well, why don't you fill that position?
There you go.
You know, I'd never ever thought about being a grief director. You know, I didn't know what that looked like. I'm a bean counter. I'm a CPA. You know,
I understand.
I do numbers.
Now you do souls.
Now I know it's
and that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
It's grown me, mm-hmm. And it's just and I still do the accounting part mm-hmm. at Heart of the Cumberland, which you know, mm-hmm. and but we've grown from a staff of three. Now we're a staff of six.
Wow.
And and growing in numbers as far as group members. It's amazing. You know, we hate to say we like to grow our organization because, you know, the people that come are grieving and are hurting, but
yes.
we're so glad we're there for them.
No question. Mm-hmm. You know, I heard this, I can relate a little bit, not in a different way. We had when a tornado hit, Clarksville, where I was years ago, this expert came in, a psychologist, and said, mm-hmm. you know, this is today we're all together, but it says 6 months from now, when the grief, when you have, you never get over it, but I mean, you deal with it and you do what you have to do. And he said, be careful in your community 6 months later, because things like there were suicides, divorces, because people don't process everything the same way. So you run into that at Heart of the Cumberland. That's part of, and these are children primarily. How they, is that, you're dealing with children of parents who've passed away, and how you try to find them ways to provide for them in a lot of ways.
We, you know, it started out as just a community-based grief support ministry.
Yes,
so
yes.
We'd borrow space to run the groups. Stephen Street provided us a lot of support mm-hmm. there for a while. First Baptist has provided mm-hmm. us
so it's been
meetings
faith-based.
Mm-hmm. But about 2000, was it 2011, there was that need in the schools, and so one of our other beloved citizens of Cookeville, Paula King, who used to be in the schools as in the drug prevention program, she just saw the need of all these children, you know, carrying this burden of their grieving, not so much that they've lost a parent due to death, but their parent was in jail. Or
it can be broader than it
just
started out as
lost
a narrower,
due to death. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Okay. 1 minute. So you're reaching a need. Y'all are reaching a need that's much. It's very broad in any community, and especially.
And
in
we
our
can talk about that maybe in the next section about how we're reaching the students in
that.
Putnam County.
Because you know it's we live, you know, it's everything. It's relationships and it's personal and when things and change. And I'd love to do that. We're running out of the first segment already, so here we go. We might go all day. You never know. But Tammy Wilson, Heart of the Cumberland, talking about meeting a real need with real people in a wonderful community and region. Back soon, Tammy Wilson, Heart of the Cumberland. One of the great things that I get to do is go deeper and listen. And there's so many things great going on in our community region I know a little bit about, but let's spend a little time. Let's talk about the Heart of the Cumberland and talk about the history. You talked about the genesis. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about meeting needs, historical needs, meeting needs today, how it's getting so much broader. God's given you a mission, and y'all are obviously a team doing great things. So let me turn it over to you and be quiet again, and you just tell us about the Heart of the Cumberland.
So when it first started out and I became the director in 2019, we had our groups that met pretty much everyone met together. It was men and women meeting together. Mm-hmm. And as we grew and as we learned and found out that each person's needs and each person's type of loss is specific to them, then we started forming focus groups.
Sure, sure.
So now we're up to 8 different focus groups mm-hmm. that we can, you know, serve people and meet them where they are with the type of loss that they have. Not that we want to categorize people and treat them like, you know, you're this person or you're that person, but we've found that since it is peer support, that the types of loss they talk about in their group, they can all relate to.
That's right.
And form a broader bond.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
And then as the school groups began to grow, we, you know, took on more volunteers and started developing. I didn't develop it, but we had some really wonderful people develop curriculum. So we self-write and self-publish
curriculum-specific.
Our own curriculum for the elementary students and then for the middle high school students. And then we have our adult curriculum.
Oh, that's great.
And so that's just been amazing because we don't have to rely on anyone else to help lead our groups and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we serve right now, all of the elementary schools are served each fall and spring semester. And each of the middle schools, we serve 2 in the fall and then 2 in the spring.
Okay.
So we reach about 500, a little over 500 students each year.
And how many counties is that? Is it pretty well Putnam County? Is it the Upper Cumberland? Is mm-hmm. it?
We are so fortunate that the Putnam County Board of Education, because we're considered a tier 2 intervention, mm-hmm. Social intervention for these kids. We're not counselors. Let me make that clear. You know, we're not doing counseling.
Yeah, you're not doing
one-on-one
professional work.
No, one-on-one. None of us have letters after our names. But we do provide that peer support. So once we were written into the school board's general budget, they provide us with for us, it's a partnership with them. They provide 5 dedicated lead facilitators for the groups in the schools, and then Heart of the Cumberland comes back behind them and provides the co-facilitator part of that.
Okay.
Because we like to use the 2-person model, you know, to have an extra set of ears there so that, you know, one adult's not alone.
So you're really getting a really professional help, fields of expertise in our through our school system that it'd been very hard to duplicate that all volunteer.
Oh, absolutely. We used to do it all volunteer.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But then as it grew, there was no way we could do that on our own.
Sure.
So I'm very thankful to, you know.
Any stories that jump out at you about individual, without naming names, relationships or cases or things that just kind of tugged at your heart and probably still do that in the even early years or today? Or
one story that always gets told around is this little this little Hispanic girl. She was in a group, and the whole 11 weeks never said a word. Never said a word. And they don't have to participate, but you know, they can write in their journals and do other things. But at the end of the 11 week session, when they write down what the groups meant most to them, she put, "It helped me talk about my feelings."
Yes.
Even though she was thinking about those things internally, and she was hearing what other students said, even though she didn't verbalize that.
She dealt with it in her own personality in her own way.
I love sitting in the – it's hard at first when a new session starts because – you hear a lot of raw emotion.
You got a lot of hurt.
Come from the walls.
A lot of hurt.
But by week 4 or 5, you start hearing laughter again.
Oh, yeah.
And today, the office was just full of laughter. And it was just, it's so amazing that just talking about your grief is healing.
Well, it's biblical. When one gives, one receives.
And they share each other's burdens.
Yeah. And you're the volunteers, you're receiving joy and hope and You're doing God's will in a way that maybe you as a young accountant may have never dreamed.
Never would have thought, no.
What's the old thing? And this turns into a spiritual-based show, and I'm proud of it, faith-based. But what's the old thing? If you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because here we are. Send us. Mm-hmm. And how miraculous. And people sense that when they move to our region. There are other great communities in our country, around our region, but this is a pretty special place, pretty special place, a region that is because of our people and relationships and our nonprofits and what you and your team has been doing. So, have you got Diane straightened out yet? I tried. Nobody succeeded, but I love Diane Calley, and she worked with us for years, and
she's like our big sister that some of us never had. She keeps us on track and keeps us laughing, and you know, it's really fun. We've got such a great team, and I love her.
And you said you had 6.
We have 6 now.
Others that are there. I didn't mean to single out just one. And you?
No. So I'm the director, and then Diane's the development director,
right.
And then we have Kim Mendoza. She's the program manager for the community based groups, and then Michaela Ramsey, she is the program manager for the school based groups, and then we have new hires this year. Lacey Smith is Michaela's assistant. We've grown so much, it's like there's too much work, you know. So
sure.
Lacey's come along to help Michaela in the schools, and she has been quite the blessing. And then Leanna came along to help support Kim with community groups, and just everybody can tell the atmosphere in the office is just wonderful. And the main thing is we know we're all there to help. It's not about us.
Sure.
It's about serving those that walk
Service.
Through the doors.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You know, as you were sharing that, I was thinking about now. It's in about me. I've been retired now, hard to believe, 5 years, and the chambers. You know, we work with a lot of worked. Past and work today with a lot of great all-volunteer nonprofit associations.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I am retired or whatever I am, and I'm volunteering for more and more, and it's isn't about me, but this is full time for some volunteers, because if you're the chairman or the president, you are the staff. I mean, there's nobody to do the just the logistical stuff. So the job that our volunteers do through our different groups makes this community what it is. One of the things. And thank you for what y'all do. Man, we're already getting down to the end of the second segment. I'm going to quit saying I talk too much because everybody knows this. So we're going to finish up in a few seconds and come down and do the fun part. We're going to look in the crystal ball and make God laugh again. And let's talk about the future, your organization, what you're doing, what your plans. We'll come right back here with Tammy Wilson, Heart of the Cumberland, back in just a few. Tammy Wilson, the director of the Heart of the Cumberland, an organization that I knew a little bit about, but I've learned so much more about in our session, and making a difference in our community. So let's pick up wherever you want to and where we left off and look in the future, and then look in the future, talk about plans, talk about needs, talk about where your organization, with God's help, and is trying to go, and other people's help.
Well, we again, we continue to grow, and we continue to have more people find out about us, and having Diane as development director has really helped spread awareness.
Yes, yeah.
And actually having StoneCom, we're doing more, you know, PSAs, you
That's
know,
great.
With
That's
you,
great.
And it just, it helps people know that if they sometimes just go, you know, and Google, you know, grief ministry or whatever, we may or may not pop up. So I appreciate this time, you know, to just, again, spread awareness of the ministry and know we're here. We do technically serve, we serve, you know, all the Upper Cumberland region. And, you know, we are situated in the middle where people can drive, you know, to our place for groups. But ultimately, as our groups are growing, as we're running out of space, we've already outgrown the space we have. And although we have donated group meeting space, our vision has been, I guess, well, since probably back several years ago, to have a standalone grief center.
Wow.
And it's really not, I don't think, an unrealistic vision.
No.
Because we just have that need in the community. There's always going to be people hurting.
That's right.
And the more that they become aware of us, and the more that these people develop relationships and want to do other things, even outside groups. Some of the widows now go to lunch.
That's great.
You know, once
That's
a month
great.
Together. You know, the men would like to start something soon, like a monthly breakfast thing. Mm-hmm. It's more than just sitting there and talking about your grief for an hour for 11 weeks. These people are building relationships.
That's the
and
word.
We want to offer more than just that. If the ladies want to come in and start a crocheting class, come on in. We've got room to do that.
Sure.
If they want to, we have artists in our groups. If they would like to have a place to come and do art therapy. But we're right now, we're just bound by, you know, the office space that we're in. So we're seriously, you know, talking about and praying about what that looks like. You know, how do we make that come about? You know, if money were no object, we'd just do it.
Just do it. But no, you hit on some. The current themes are relationships. We're crying at. We're easily the world and the country and the region's most informed. Most there's more information out there, but we're all isolated. Not all of us, but. There is a need for relationships, for coming together, especially in Tennessee. And we spend a lot of time talking about children. Mm-hmm. But your ministry, as you said, is widows, people grieving and different for different reasons. So you want to expound on that a little bit, because you talked about a grief center. And that's broader than working with the school system.
Absolutely.
It's churches with children experiencing grief. So.
Yeah, the way we would envision it would be a place that, you know, we could have groups now instead of trying to, you know, host our groups all on one night or one day.
Sure.
Which now we've even have to expand. You know, a place that's just kind of an open door, you know, and have groups all the time, so that if you call and say, well, when did your next group start? We say, well, our next groups don't start until, you know, the next 4 weeks down the road. Well, people need help now.
You can have more groups, smaller groups, more informal
Absolutely,
groups,
yes.
New groups.
And so activities. And
giving people a place where they can come together and be real with each
somewhere
other.
Somewhere that's, yeah, welcoming and homey, not an office type space.
No,
you
not
know, something,
perfunctory, you know, like.
No, like no. Out on a farm or somewhere where you can just enjoy nature and see.
Well, I think it's a great, now we've got some time left, but it's so you see a vision, and y'all see a vision and a mission to take this thing and really, it's growing. And how do you meet the needs of a growing, more impersonal community as we grow and bring in all this new business? People are coming here from all over the country. They're coming in without that family network they grew up. A lot of, you know, the modern, how to provide that essential relationship service in a modern world.
Yeah, we feel like even, you know, having more of a, not what you would call a storefront, but more of a visual, you know, we're tucked away right now on West Broad Street, and it's a little difficult to find.
Sure.
And so to have somewhere that, you know, oh, Heart of the Cumberland, I know about that place.
That's right.
That's
right. I've got to be careful with this one because of my pastor friends, but not everybody feels comfortable going to the church or talking to the pastor. Mm. They're a little bit. Some people are a little bit more intimidated by this. So there's and the churches do a great job with it. This is not a criticism, but you're offering an adjunct, an alternative. It really is spiritual, but you're offering a little different venue type thing.
Right. We do, when people inquire, you know, about the groups, we do tell them it's Christ-centered. And that our curriculum, you know, does have scripture and things. And nobody's just said, well, I'm not going to come because of that. We hope they're going to hear about God's love and his healing. And so, but there are even, you know, Christians that come and they're mad at God because.
No question.
You know, why did God take my child?
Why did this happen?
Why did this happen to me? But in the end, we feel like, you know, we're going to hold true to our faith. And hopefully bring others along too, and let them experience that joy.
You have the fields are wide unto harvest. The needs, I think about modern, I go back to this modern society where people are moving here, people are building, and they don't know their neighbors, which has been, that was a personal example. When I managed Chambers, like being, and you said a preacher in a church or, you know, you move and you don't really know who your neighbors are, and you don't know you're going to be here. No, subconsciously you think you're making friends, and you really are at a certain level. But the kind of friendships and relationships we're talking about, if one knows they're probably going to be here 5 years and they're going to get transferred somewhere, it's difficult at best to let your guard down and have those relationships. So
and
you're meeting
a heck of a
need on different levels, of need. So we're gonna get us a new facility.
We are
a grief center, and we're gonna do it.
I guess talk a little bit about how we support.
Yes,
the
let's
ministry.
Talk about how we.
So it's again from the generosity of the community, from individuals, from businesses, from churches. We do apply for some private grants. We have never relied on federal or state funding.
Wow.
Now, we have had purchases of our curriculum from state organizations, but we've just been blessed so far. And so that model has worked for us, and God's provided, so we feel like that's a great way to go. But we do have our annual fundraising banquet coming up on Tuesday, October 28th.
Okay.
And it's at Central City Church. And we're going to offer a dinner option and a lunch option again.
That's great.
Like
That's
we
great.
Did.
That's great.
Because a lot of the business people will come for lunch and hear what we're all about. And, you know, and again, even though it is a fundraiser, it is about awareness. And, you know, Diane, she'd kill me if I said this. I don't care if we don't raise a dollar.
I know that.
I want people to hear about the
I'll
ministry.
I'll hear about it too, believe me. I'll hear about it. No, but you said something off air a while ago, and we talked about in a nonprofit, yes, we'd love to have you there, everybody, but you also don't have to be present to participate. There are other ways to participate. There's in kind, there's gifts, there's time. I mean, so it's a lot of things that you can do, but in serving and being a having a role than coming to actually coming to the function.
Yes, absolutely. We are always on the look for volunteers. Now, we are a little bit more, I guess, because of the nature of the organization and being in sensitive situations, you know, we do love volunteers, but we do have a pretty, not a strict, you know, application process, but we do have to make sure that, that you know, we're screening people and making sure that
you're
they
dealing
can,
with people's lives. You're dealing with not you. I mean, you're
the but the facilitators. Yeah.
You're facilitators at all ages and people with different backgrounds and needs and hurts. And so, yeah, it's an awesome responsibility that one can't take. Well, I'm just going to come in here and move. You know, it's serious.
But I mean, the great thing is we have a lot of repeat, well, in the children's groups and the adult groups, a lot of adults will come back and repeat just because eventually they may become a co-facilitator.
Yes.
Or they come because my friend, you know, has had a loss, and so I'm just going to be there to support her. So we have people come through and have attended 3 and 4 and 5 sessions, you know, not because they necessarily need the extra support, but to help others.
You know, there's a psychological deal years ago that I forgot which, was it Jung or Junior, that only the wounded physician can heal. Hmm. People who have been there, obviously more than only the wounded, but people who've been through those experiences can often become the best facilitators and teachers and helpers. So it's a great opportunity for people to serve in a lot of unexpected ways.
Yes. Well, we would love to tell you more about the ministry, and anyone can attend the banquet. And if you just want to call our office or go to our website, we just need to have a good count, you know, so we can have enough food there for everyone probably by October 21st. But we'd love to tell everyone about the ministry.
Well, this is what this program is all about people and who you are and needs. And thank you. Thank you for, and Heart of the Cumberland, for making a difference in our community and region's lives. Thank you. This is with Tammy Wilson. I've been blessed today, and I hope you have too. See you next time. Bye-bye.